I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss Representative Chuck Williams' appointment to the Georgia Forestry Commission and other local races, as well as Athens Made, Chesson Community, and the farm at Clark Middle School. Those topics and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Gwen O'Looney with WXAG and Blake Odd and Rebecca McCarthy with Flagpole. So thank you, everyone, for being here. And I guess we'll start with our first topic, and that's Governor Deal appointing an area representative to the Georgia Forestry Commission. Chuck Williams is now the new head of that commission.
That's right.
He's the director of the Georgia Forestry Commission, which means that we now have a second state house seat that we're going to have a special election for here coming up in November. So that'll be interesting. A little trial run for 2018, maybe. I don't know. But
he's from District 119.
119, right? Yeah, which is basically like southeastern Clark and most of Oconee.
Right. It's a very close Democrat. It has a lot of Democratic representation in there.
It definitely leans Republican. I mean, you know, maybe given the way that things are, you know, it might be an opportunity that, you know, it could be a pickup for Democrats. But
if the right person is there.
If the right person ran, you know, maybe, possibly, but probably not.
Right.
And there has been a person who's announced that they are running, the first to announce.
Tom Lord.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think the other thing that I'm watching as we move forward is the race for Regina Quick's seat. I thought it was really interesting that Scott Berry came out for Houston Gaines, and I thought that was interesting because Gaines is not the most far right of those candidates.
I don't think he's, I mean, compared to Doug McKillop, you know, this iteration of Doug McKillop, you know, who dropped that abortion bill and everything. No, he's nowhere near. No, I mean,
right.
I think Houston's probably politically a lot like Nancy. I mean, he ran Nancy's campaign and they're both pretty, you know, down the middle, I guess. So right. Depending on where you are on the spectrum, you know, they're, you could
right,
say differently,
right.
But.
But I mean, I've heard him discuss issues in an informed way, in a thinking way. Thank goodness.
Wow, he'll be in, imagine, what is he, 20?
24,
23?
23, maybe. I don't know. He just graduated, I think.
Imagine
May.
What a long political career he
yeah.
will have.
Well, he's already, you know, he's been doing this for a long
and he's,
time.
He's one of those kids who's so polished. He seems so much older. And, I mean, you could definitely see him, like, you know, like Governor Gaines or something one day, you know, like the 20 or 30 years from now. But
mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, like I think Deborah Gonzalez is doing a better job than a lot of people expected as far as raising monies and getting people involved. That to me was interesting. I think it's about time that we see what the Latino community in Athens is willing to support and how
and they
how
have not been a political force in this community.
All.
I mean, they're probably 10 or 12% of the population, but mm-hmm. you know,
almost a hidden
very,
part.
Very,
sometimes.
Very few turn out to vote. Even who can vote, you know, don't turn out to vote. So
yeah. And that's always the story. November will show us who's willing
si,
to come
se puede,
out. Right? That's right. That's right. Who is willing to come out, who really cares enough to vote, is going to decide things.
And it's going to be a special election, so it's probably going to be low turnout. You know, not
right.
a lot of people are, this is going to fly under the radar.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's going to be nothing else on the ballot except, you know, this one state house race that, you know, they usually don't get a lot of attention. So
when is the voting for the Chuck Williams seat?
Well, they haven't officially called it yet, but I would imagine it would be November 7th,
right.
Which is the next one coming up. Right. So and then it'll be
both Regina and Chuck's seat at the same time.
Right, but they're you're not going to be able to vote on both.
No. I was just thinking.
I would think they would be at the same time, yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, then the next race is in May.
What kind of turnout do you get in May? Those are local elections, and then the primary and the 2018 primary in May. That's right.
You don't get a lot in May.
No, people don't even.
That's why it's in May. That's why it's in May.
That's right.
It was like 25%.
It was ridiculous. It was so low.
Even in Athens.
Right.
That's right.
Where we tend to do a little
better. But here's the interesting thing, though. There was nothing local on the ballot last year.
Yes.
There was one school board race. None of the commissioners, all the commissioners were unopposed. You know, all the state reps were unopposed. So, but right now we've already got at least two contested commission races. You know, we've got the mayor's race. We've got, because these ones in November,
District 7, they'll be coming
back up again in 18. So you're going to have these two state house seats again. This is a lot of stuff that's on the ballot.
Congressional
seat was unopposed, you know, both of our congressional seats. And they're both, they have opposition this time. It's not going to be like you would see in November in a presidential year, because it just never is. And this is why we need to move our local elections back to November. You know, this was done by the legislature.
That's right.
It was not local people. You know, our local mayor commission, they opposed this.
No, they didn't. Doc Eldridge was very much for us.
No, not moving it to May.
Not moving it to May.
That was
because remember,
state,
they were nonpartisan, but they were still in November.
Right.
And then.
Going nonpartisan, Doc Eldridge was.
Okay, but I'm not talking about nonpartisan. Yeah. I'm just talking about the date.
The timing.
It needs to be in November. Yeah. It doesn't need to be in May. But the legislature won't change it because the Augusta delegation refuses to do it. And they're, the way the law was written, it encompasses all unified governments. And so, you know, and it's because Augusta wanted it. They thought it'd be easier to elect Republicans in May.
Local
government, and they refused to change it. And our guys, you know, because they outnumber our delegation, so we can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
that's an expensive thing to do.
Our delegation would not have opposed that. I'm sure our delegation was very supportive of that because.
Well, that's I'm telling you what they say in public.
Yeah.
You know,
but I'll tell you,
it weakened.
It weakened the Democrats in a
significant
way.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, and that's why I know that I know Calcert would have been supportive of that. But I do resent the changing of rules in a way that hurts our citizens' ability to participate in government. That to me seems anti-participant. You know, that's not good citizenship. Period. When you at the top.
I don't think I've heard that word in many, many years.
Yeah, actually.
Citizenship. I haven't heard that in a long time from anyone. I don't think that's anyone's
I guess I am
problem.
Old-fashioned.
Well, except in connection with, you know, people crossing the border, maybe.
Right.
That's not the only context that is used these days.
No, they just say aliens. They don't say citizenship.
Right. But we do have another way of using it, as Gwen so eloquently put it. We will find out if there are more people going to be joining the race for the 119th district. 119.
It's kind of like the I think the Democrats in Clark County have taken the GWTW, you know, as God is my witness, there'll never be no opposition again. And I think I think every single race is going to have somebody.
Somebody will do it, yeah.
Yes.
But I think, as we referenced earlier, it would take a very, very strong candidate, I think, to win that particular seat.
I know somebody from Oconee who could win, but I don't know if he lives in that part of the county.
Well, it's most of the county other than 316. I think really like the 316 area in 117.
Yeah, I'm not. Anyway, we'll see.
The good news is that we have a lot of contested local races.
So what's open on the commission? Harry Sims' seat? And I know in
it's the odd number of seats this year.
But he's going to run for mayor, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
So he'll do that, and then District 7 will have opposition.
Yes. 7 and 9, Kelly Gertz's seat, which will be open because he's running for mayor, too. That's got two people running already.
Who's running for Kelly's seat?
Ovita Thornton and Tommy Valentine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think Russell Edwards has said he's going to run against Diane.
And Russell is running against Diane.
Right, and then Harry's
assuming Diane's
district.
Running.
Y'all didn't include that's.
No, I did say Harry's.
Well, there's only one person running right now for Harry's seat.
So right, that's true. I see what you're saying,
Who is that?
But it's so early.
Mark Martin. He's a teacher at Hillsman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grady Martin's brother. You probably know Grady.
I do know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, these people just step up. It's admirable, I think.
It is admirable. It's really hard to make that decision. If you care about, you know, if you really care about doing something, a lot of people just like want to be have the title, and that's an interesting
or have the photo
things or the photo right gets a right photo, but well, you know, though, one of the things that was interesting about the Chuck Williams appointment was I don't know if Governor Deal was like Trump or not, but it was really interesting to hear the agricultural statistics for Georgia. You know, that we have the largest forestry supposedly in the nation, 24.1 million acres in that, and we're the top producer of pecans, and we're still the top producer of peanuts, and that's hard. I really was, you know, I was informed, and I hope it was not alternative facts. But I thought that was really interesting. And it shows what an important job this could be. The other day I was talking to someone, and they were talking about Sonny Perdue and his leadership at the Department of Agriculture and wondering what he was going to do about immigration, because that is the farm labor source for seasonal workers, for everything, seasonal cotton.
And they now, both Perdue, Sonny and David, you know, they both want to not just keep out the undocumented immigrants, but keep out the legal immigrants too. They want to cut legal immigration, and they want to limit it to, you know, people with certain skills, you know, with PhDs,
they can speak
and things
Spanish,
like that,
right.
who already know English, and you know they have all these requirements, and you know I know they know what happened when the legislature passed that immigration bill a few years ago.
You could smell the onions in Savannah
rotting in the fields. You know, they couldn't pay anyone any amount of money to come pick those crops.
Yeah, Vidalias are very labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to know how to plant them and know how to harvest them. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, Georgia is a great example.
And they know this, you know, because they're
from
Georgia. They know this. They know what this is going to do to farms in the South. I mean, it's going to be
But I always wonder, whenever people act so bizarrely or against the state's interest, I think, to whom are you playing? What base is there, or what base and what basis is such a decision?
Right. But, they're playing to Trump. I think that they're supporters of the president. And that's how they got there.
I guess we will move on to Athens Made. And Rebecca, you did a very nice article, Flagpole.
Well, I was so taken with Mary Charles Howard. I think she's so energetic and smart and capable and has really good ideas for encouraging, you know, people to stay in town, start businesses. And I didn't know that the whole economic development arm of the county is all focused on manufacturing,
they're going after the big fish,
right? Yeah, and she has been given, you know, the charge of the entrepreneurs and the smaller businesses. I'm kind of going, wow. And they gave her only $50,000, which to me seems like a drop in the proverbial bucket.
She'll have to be real creative.
Yeah. Right.
But it's always been true of the Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development. They always look at the biggies. And all the studies show that it's better to have 10 thriving businesses than one,
smaller businesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Locally owned. Those kind of things, they really pump money into you. Whereas things like Caterpillar, et cetera, that they can make a jump, but they can also jump out.
They can leave, and you're vulnerable.
That's right.
And how many, you know, we give all these tax breaks to these factories, and they draw from multiple counties. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people who work in Caterpillar actually live in Clark County?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Not a majority, I wouldn't think. I mean, they're coming from Barrow, Jackson, Walton, probably even Madison, Elbert County, you know. I mean, people come from all over for these manufacturing jobs here in Athens.
Yeah.
And the tax base is great, but, I mean, in terms of the jobs, you know, I don't know what, you know, what benefit it gets us as opposed to other counties that aren't kicking in, you know, to lure these plants, you know, where people in those counties are seeing some benefit, too.
Well, I thought it was interesting that now the UGA experiential learning component can happen in Athens. She's finding businesses that would let someone work with them from the university, and that's good because she thinks, and I think she's probably right, you know, that she wants people who have ideas. I mean, there is the UGA incubator and, you know, more for the life sciences, but she just wants people with good ideas to stay put and maybe, you know, come somewhere in town and start a business. And I still think that, I mean, there are a lot of smaller companies in town that people don't know about.
Right.
And a lot of them were started by UGA students. I know there's well, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, she has a list of things to do for people to talk about their businesses. And at this coffee clatch, it wasn't a coffee clatch, but the meet and greet coffee, people were just talking about all the different things they did. And it was kind of impressive. I mean, it was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's an impressive woman.
Yeah.
She, you know, I want to brag that Obama's economic stimulus program, when I led that at Action Incorporated, she was one of the people that stood out and was funded through that when she started her food tours here in Athens. And she's always loved Athens. She's
from Sandersville.
Very sophisticated. Well, I never knew that about her, but she's all the more impressive if she came out of Sandersville. But no, she really is.
No offense to Sandersville.
Yeah, no, I was about to say. We don't broadcast that far south, do we? They're not hearing this.
Yes. Nothing against Sandersville.
The Kaolin people, you know, we love you down there. It's very important, your product, even though you are owned by multinationals and take no pay. Well, anyway, go ahead.
Once again, we have nothing against Sandersville.
No, Sandersville's a really nice town.
Right. Well, I mean, I just want to applaud the fact that people like her that have abilities and commitment and network very well. She's a very sophisticated networker, that when they apply themselves to Athens and making it better, it helps all of us. And this approach for small businesses is way overdue. Athens is perfect for entrepreneurial things. And we need to have more studio spaces, more spaces for beginning businesses, and her collaborative approach may work.
Yeah.
Well, you do have a lot of UGA students who end up staying, grads who stay or come back,
and people,
because
and
Athens lures
stay.
You back.
They
right?
want to stay,
people
but,
want
I mean,
to stay, but they can't because they can't make money. And we have this huge brain drain, and you know, I mean, probably the best thing we do for our economy is try to keep more UGA graduates here and give them something to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And let them make a living and then
right.
keep the money local because
yeah.
they'll, you know, people spend it. They,
right.
They live it, build
Besides
it, spend
lawyers,
it.
Besides lawyers, all the law schools here,
right.
we have like 300
But, you know,
lawyers.
Almost everything seems so political. I know at one point, you know, there's such a backlog of DNA testing that's done in the state, and someone was trying to start a DNA testing lab here, and it was practically and ended up being impossible. But, I mean, you know, those are good jobs. You would have to get somebody from, you know, who knows how to do that, and from the genetics department probably because they can do it easily. You just have to be a bench animal and have somebody who's really good at that to run it, and you could employ 8 to 10 people and get rid of the backlog. But there was some huge snafu at the state level. You know, they don't want that in Athens. And I'm kind of going, well, why not? I mean, that right. seems to me to be something
Where
needed.
Where is it now? Isn't it like in Snellville or something?
I think it's Stone Mountain.
Stone Mountain?
I think. I don't think it's Snellville.
Well, I mean, close enough.
Yeah, well, it starts with an S. Right?
Yeah, I mean, they're, but, you know, 20 miles, whatever.
Yeah.
Someplace outside of Atlanta.
Throughout the state, people have been very hesitant to give things to the GBI because of the backlog and the time that it it slows down our courts, it slows down, you know,
but anyway,
releasing of people.
Maybe,
you know,
maybe Mary Charles can make that happen. She seems to be making stuff happen.
It would be great to have another lab. Because that backlog is ridiculous.
And I mean, it's like two years or something, isn't it?
It's really a long time.
Yeah.
And that's indicative of a national problem, too.
Right. The Innocence Project has hired a lot of geneticists, or at least technicians, to, you know, because they do matching and testing.
There are people who can do it. We just need them able to do it on a larger scale.
Wow. Well, it's very difficult to do. I learned this when I was covering the Baldwin Hall slave burials.
That's right.
How hard it is to actually extract DNA. I mean, I know it's not exactly the same thing, but, you know, DNA testing is not like just, you know, prick somebody, take blood, you know, like run it through a centrifuge.
It's not like testing for TB or anything.
Yeah,
no,
right. It's pretty involved.
It's technical, and you have to, you know, you have to have the right equipment, which is very expensive, and then you have to know what you're doing. And there's a margin of error, but there's still a big need for that.
Right.
But at any rate, my point was that there are things that could lead to really good jobs. And
and those are technical jobs. They can,
yeah. I mean, you know,
have
somebody
it all the way up.
Somebody
right.
smart who, right. or at least well-trained, right. and they would have to be well-paid to to do it.
Blake, who did the DNA testing on Baldwin Hall?
They actually had to send it away.
Yeah.
They couldn't even do it here.
Yeah.
They had to send it away.
To Texas, I think?
I can't remember the university where they sent it to, but they had to send it to another university, and it wasn't even the really hard kind. They just did mitochondrial, and there's another kind that's even harder.
Well, you know, this goes back to what we were talking about before, in that everybody knows that Georgia Tech has beat us with salaries, median salaries, coming out of the university for years because of their co-op program, where young people get experience and they get networking contacts. And
I think
the
College of Engineering is doing that.
Well, that's the Tech model, but we could do that model in so many different areas that we're not doing.
Also, some fields, though, Gwen, are just going to pay better. UGA has a wide variety of majors as opposed to Georgia Tech. It's a little more limited scope.
Right.
And those jobs are going to pay more than
broadcasting major. But anybody that's co-opted, is going to make more coming out.
And we could do that.
Yes.
Now, that would be something.
Maybe that's what that experiential learning thing is partially about, although some of it is internships and things like that. Well, I mean, but Georgia Tech is it's an engineering school.
Yeah. You know,
it's the trade school on North Avenue or whatever it is people have called it.
That's right.
And people, you know, they are very nimble about finding things for their graduates to do and placing them in good jobs. I mean, everybody I knew from my hometown, I mean, who went to Tech, they were always co-oping at Georgia Power, or I mean the big places, Georgia
right.
Power,
and oil companies,
Georgia
and,
Pacific,
yeah.
somewhere,
yeah,
and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But
nice
all
leg
those,
up.
All those petroleum engineers are in Houston, and they're all underwater,
swimming right now. God bless Houston.
Yeah. But anyway, I hope Mary Charles can get together with Life and. Maybe they can franchise that model for Chesson Community,
right?
Which
that's
is so successful.
Very
I don't
successful.
Think they could. I think it's all Lot. It's him and his passion and compassion.
You know, he was recently interviewed before they took that trip to Ethiopia. He was interviewed by Charlene Hunter Galt, and he was people wanted to steal him.
Yeah.
You know, he got offers from different cities and even different countries, and he's loyal to Athens, thank goodness.
Right.
But he does a remarkable job. I know, Gwen, you wanted to kind of pat him on the back about that.
Yeah, I do want to pat him on the back. And I want to pat on back, not just because of that they got to go to Ethiopia or whatever, but he has been sticking with this for a really long time. It's built very slowly. It now uses our library. It brings young men into the library that may not know it.
And girls, too.
And girls, too, right.
But they do have young women as well. You're right.
It's a mixed group. His philosophy, and it is so much greater than the chess. You really understand what his goal is about teaching the rules of life, thinking ahead, knowing that this one can only do this. What can this one do? He really, and then he'll challenge them with conversations related to how does that apply to every day? What happened to you recently? He makes them communicate.
How old do you have to be to get in this program? Maybe we all need.
But anyway, we when we did that Prince Avenue festival, he did this for Historic Cobham Foundation. Did a chess thing at the little triangle at Piedmont College, and everybody walked away saying, wow, he's so inspiring. He's expanding their minds, et cetera. And he's a great personality. I'm not sure he'll always be in Athens, but we are very lucky that he started here. And if he does the kind of great
he's
job.
He's here right now and giving
right.
everything.
That's right. We're
delighted. Right. And they are, you know, he also opens up their vision to different things because some of the students he works with, you know, wouldn't think of going to some of the places they've gone. You know, they go to D.C. every year. Just going to Stone Mountain, not everybody would go there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people are so limited in geography, you know, in their geography right where they are, and he takes them out of that.
Right.
So that's
some
great.
Of these kids have never been to the library until they join the chess club, which is, to me, frightening, but it happens.
Right. And, Rebecca, we wanted to briefly also touch on Clark.
Yes, next door to the library is Clark Middle School, and at Clark Middle School is this garden that's just great. I mean, there are goats, and there's a, you know, I was weeding there with Dr. Mitchell was the person who was leading us, leading the weeders and some volunteers, but it's fantastic. I mean, it's almost like the school is trying to be a zero-waste school. They had packaged apples from lunch that people didn't eat. And so a class took all those apples and made apple, you know, made apple cobbler and they're going to get a press and make apple cider. And I just love that. And, you know, I think it's because it's an international baccalaureate school, everybody takes certain classes and agricultural science and family and consumer sciences. So one child is learning to grow the food and the other one is learning about cooking the food. But they planted carrots, they plant cabbage and feed goats. And if anybody wants to volunteer time and treasure, I know Dr. Mitchell would like to hear from you.
Rebecca, sounds good. Nice plug for them. And you'll have the last word today. I do want to thank my guests, Rebecca McCarthy, Blake Odd, and Gwen O'Looning. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.